The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Next guest has won 5 All-Ireland medals, 7 Munster championships, 3 National League titles and 3 All-Stars in a star-studded Kerry career. His newly released autobiography, it's called Unbroken. And it's interesting when you look at the cover because the un part is in green and the broken part is in yellow. And you tend to see the broken part before you realise it's the story of a man who's been through a lot of travails and has come out smiling the other side. He is with me now. Aidan, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me.
You've had loads of things to talk about. A footballing career, obviously, with all those accolades, but also a dancing career. Which, my daughter, when she saw the book, says, I've got to read this. Now, she wouldn't have any interest in Gaelic football, but she wanted to read about you and Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, it was, a different route. I finished playing football in 2016, and I think most sports people or GA people will always talk that kind of vibe you get when you play sports. So I won't say it was an obvious route to take, but... What I actually thought was ahead of me and what actually was ahead of me were two different things. But it was an amazing 11 weeks. It was tough trying to pick up new routines. Trying to pick up a new kind of sport, I'll call it. It was tough. It was stressful. It was worth it.
Okay, now, the extraordinary thing is that you had a kind of a dress rehearsal at the INEC. Explain what you were doing that night and how you actually were teasing the people there.
Yeah, so we had a dancing charity event for Down Syndrome Kerry.
Had you ever danced before in public?
No. Absolutely not, no. And if you saw me too, Pat, you'd say for good reason. So there was a lot of work put into me in Dance with the Stars. But yeah, so after we danced, obviously, there was an MC on the night and I was being interviewed, and he made a kind of a joke to the crowd, which there was about 3,000 people there, and he said something like, sure, you never know, you might take up dancing. And I just kind of started laughing. And obviously, at the time, nobody knew I was going to be taking part in Dance with the Stars. And I did, and I said, you'd never know. And he actually said it to me a few weeks after. He said, did you know back then? But yeah, as I said, it was something I was looking forward to, but at the same time, it was probably something that I couldn't see myself doing. So that was more the reason why I did it.
Just to be perverse, that was, you shouldn't be doing this. It's madness. And your beloved wife pointed out all the negatives about doing it, mm-hmm. while at the same time pushing you in the direction of doing it. Explain.
Yeah, so I suppose as a GA player, you're always comfortable when you're in that environment. You're playing football, you grew up in it. And that's something that you have all the skills and tools for. For me, Dancing with the Stars, it was a different route. You go on this journey where what you actually think is ahead of you is totally different to when you walk in the first day and you're seeing 200 people on set, and you walk in next to this big long catwalk and it's covered in glitter and gold, and you're kind of saying, oh God, what have I got myself into? But then you're there. And for me, I suppose it gave people a different kind of view of Aidan O'Mahony outside of the cape or outside of the jersey, where you go on this TV show and every Sunday night there's a minute of a VT, and there's sweat coming down your back because you know you're getting on the dance floor.
So, how does that compare to, say, standing in the tunnel waiting to walk out in Croke Park?
Well, if you make a mistake after a minute in a football game, Pat, you have 60 or 70 minutes to regain yourself. But if you make a mistake in a minute of the dancing, there is no going back. It was stressful, but at the same time, it was just amazing for me that, I suppose, a lot of the book I talk about being an introvert from growing up and through my career. And for me, that was something that was total opposite, that an introvert wouldn't want to get involved in. So it was very important that I did it.
Yeah. Now, you had one fellow traveller in my pal, Des Cowell. Des and I soldiered together for so many years. So you knew that someone who could talk sport with you in the downtime and probably slag you off anyway about Kerry and Dublin and all the rest of it, that he would be a companion along the way.
He was a companion, yeah. I suppose it was great to have someone like Des in it, obviously from the sports world, where every Sunday we spent our times on the laptops kind of watching games and the kind of updates instead of kind of trying to rehearse. But, you know, having someone like that made it probably a lot easier. He was obviously very competitive as well. The whole Dublin thing kind of came into it. At the time, Dublin were leading in the football stakes. So obviously it was important for me to actually win something in the dancing seek. We win something from Dublin.
The business of Dancing with the Stars, one of the things, the costumes. You're a Garda, right? So, you know, you have your uniform and it's appropriate to the job. And then they ask you to put on these sparkly jobs, What impact did that have on you when you returned to the station?
Yeah, so I think after the first show, I think the dancing was so bad that they said that we'll take the glass off his dancing and send him out in something revealing. And going home the first day, like I went back to work every Monday, and obviously the first thing that was said to me was that, are you picking your own wardrobe and stuff like that? And there was a bit of banter, and I suppose work-wise there's plenty of banter and stuff like that. And but for me, it's trying to explain to people that, you know, you have a wardrobe unit and they all pick your outfits and you don't pick them yourself. Like, but look, people run with their own stories and, you know, what suits.
So they had a picture of you up on the wall at the station.
They had a picture of me up in the station in the very first morning. I went in, like, so you're trying to come, you're driving home on Sunday night and you're relieved, and next you go in Monday morning, so the station is there in front of you, like, and it's a bit daunting, all right.
Now, you by and large, you took what they gave you to wear, but there was a moment when you said, no, I'm not doing this. What costume was that?
Yeah, that was week 9. I think Lucia had just been born, and it was an emotional week, and I was very emotional going up. And on the Saturday morning, I was saying to myself, I'm not going to go back up. And Denise was saying, look, you've started it, go finish it. And I remember driving back up that day, and you're drained after the week. And I think they landed out with a pink top and a pink pants. And I just said to him, I said, look, I've never asked for anything, but I said, no way. I said, I'm only after the baby. I'm not getting on the floor on a Sunday night after becoming a new dad wearing a pink pants and a pink. And in fairness, they changed the outfit, yeah.
Now, the competition itself, I mean, you talk about the physical demands, that it may look easy, but that's part of the business. It's same in football. The best footballers make it look easy. Mm-hmm. The best dancers, you don't see the joins, you don't see the hard work, you just see the flourish.
Yeah, and they're amazing what they do. Like if you're thinking about them day one, they're bringing in someone like myself that's like a stone. Like when you're playing sport, you're meant for contact. And like in the dancing world, like it's all about your kind of the movement and your mobility and stuff, and you're trying to break a person down. Like, but they're so driven, they're so passionate, you know, and it's just amazing what they do and their coaching techniques. And I remember from Valeria, my dance partner, she used to always say, do it again, and you'd be nearly having a breakdown looking in the mirror trying to pick up these steps, and she'd say, do it again, and you could be kind of like giving up, and she'd say, just do it again. And they keep going and keep going. Next you start picking it up. But it is, it's like I always said, for any sport, if you can dance, you know, the quickness of your feet and like your mobility and movement is just frightening.
But it also improved the fitness that you had.
Absolutely, yeah, because in something like that, if you're not picking it up and you keep doing it, and like the practice and practice, like we spent, you know, 10, 12 hours a day, like, so like when you constantly do that, the fitness levels just go through the roof.
Anyway, history tells us that you won it, which is great. Congratulations on that. But that's your mentality would be, if I'm in it, I'm in it to win it. And so it turned out. Going back through your life, though, and I think you get your hard work ethic from your dad. Mm-hmm. You know, you come from a farming background. And I was interested to see, early part in the book, you said, like, you weren't that mad about sport to begin with. You had asthma as a child. Mm-hmm. So too did your brother. Mm-hmm. And you didn't think a sporting life would be for you, but that's not how it turned out.
Yeah, I suppose, look, when I grew up, we had no insulation in the houses. It was different to, I suppose, what we have now in terms of asthma. I was diagnosed when I was 8. For me, sport was difficult. You might last 15, 20 minutes in games. I was lucky I had very good coaches, which were back then were your teachers that you had in the school. They were putting time in for you, were getting the token run maybe with 15 minutes in the game, and then the asthma would trigger and you'd just come off. For me, like, it was like a barrier that I couldn't overcome. And for then, I suppose, I had a brother, Noel, who ran our farm at home, and we have a farm up in Anise, it's called Inglenflesk, and it's very therapeutic. It's up in the mountains, and I spend my weekends and after school going up there. So for me, sport, it wasn't a big thing, Pat. It wasn't like organic where I wanted to be a Kerry footballer because I'd watched the Kerry golden years. You know, it happened organically, I suppose, that my family kind of got me into sport, and that the asthma was something that I started controlling. And for me, it probably defined me for years, in that anytime it triggered, I stopped. You know, my teachers knew that, look, you man, give him 15 minutes there, pull him back again. So yeah, from my early days, sport was the last thing on my mind. Yeah.
But eventually it became the first thing on your mind, and you were able to manage very well with the help of inhalers. Mm-hmm. But inhalers came back to haunt you in a way, which, you know, led to you being labelled a cheat.
Yeah.
Explain.
Yeah, so like in 2010... I became, I suppose, the first Irish GA player to fail a drug test. I think the beauty of it is the way it was ran with the media is that O'Mahony fails drug test. There was no mention of an inhaler or anything. Obviously, salbutamol, the levels of salbutamol were high. For me, it came down to therapeutic form where you take your inhaler and whether you take it once or take it twice together, it wasn't, I suppose, put down, which was my fault more than anything. And it was very honest, like, and when I went to, I suppose, the hearing that time, I explained no different to what I'm talking to you now. But in that 3 months, the way it came across, it was just, it hurt me. I think it made me a very negative person. I started to hate sport. I think when you're asthmatic for 20 years and you work so hard and trying to overcome it, and that's not a kind of a pity thing, it's just being honest. And then this thing comes back to kind of bite you in the backside, and you're you just become very negative. I started becoming very paranoid about it. I hated GAA, you know, and probably started a lot of my personality. And as I said, like, when you're someone as an introvert, which I was growing up, and that or being brought up like that, you don't talk about these things, you don't deal with them. And I just found myself digging more of a hole as the, I suppose, those months went on.
Now, you enrolled yourself in ASHIRE, which is a very brave thing to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have faced all your challenges head on. How did that come about that you did that? And were you concerned at all that there might be some sort of stigma attached to seeking that kind of help?
Well, I suppose, Pat, one of the main reasons of going in there was because that stigma was with me for years, and that I always kind of left in what people thought about me. You know, I was going to bed at night time at 10 o'clock and my head was on overdrive. I was leaving training. I'd been dropped in 2009. I'd so much negativity about me. I hated the person I was. You know, like after games, and it's something you don't kind of relate with a sports person. If you're serious about your sport, I found myself socialising more, not for the want of enjoyment. It was just getting out there, and then your feelings are coming up and people look at you saying, geez, what's wrong with him? I weren't like kind of leaving up my emotions. And then in 2010, like, I made a decision along with my family where I just felt broken, where, you know, I'd given up on everything, sport, I'd just given up myself, life, work, you know, I was finding no enjoyment in anything. And those 6 weeks made me find a person that, I suppose, as a young person, where I had that love for who I was, I found who I was able to deal with things more. And like, all those issues were mine because I didn't deal with them. And like, when you're a sports person, you have this kind of persona, what people think of you.
Yeah.
You know, when I played in the pitch, I was, they thought, oh, he's teak tough. You know, he played on the edge. But behind it, it was probably, I was nothing but that. And I lifted, dragged myself down. And, you know, I'm all the happier for taking that journey into ASHRAE, as tough as it was. But I think the last thing I'll say about that is that, that morning when I took that journey, when you see your parents crying, and they were elderly at the time, my mom and dad, Lord mercy, and you know, it's very tough to see that. And yeah, you know, it's like when people talk about hitting rock bottom, everyone's rock bottom is different. And for me, it was like going on that journey and coming out a different person, and I'm all the more happier for it.
I want to go back to another unhappy thing which you write about, and that is the Donegal Conor incident in 2008 when you, you showed your acting skills.
Yeah.
You went down.
Yeah. And you know, Pat, like, and that's another thing. Like, you know, when you grow up in Kerry football, you know, it's football is a religion in Kerry. And when you do something like that, like, it's an embarrassment. It was an embarrassment to me, to my family. I went back to work in Cork the following day, and you know, I got plenty of, you know, abuse for it, and rightly so as well, because there's no part in sport for it. But look, I'm probably not the first person to make a mistake in life. For me that time, I actually couldn't kind of deal with it, in that, like, it was kind of defining me. And like, for Dunica, like, it had nothing to do with Dunica. And for, as I said, I grew up with Dunica playing against him. I have massive respect for the player. Just the way I conducted myself, like, it really ate into me.
I mean, he did give you a slap, but
it was a tap. I wouldn't even call it a slap. Like, and you know, for something to happen like that, when you give so much into sport, you know, you can see a reason why you'd give up on it fairly quick. And, you know, I was just desperate, like, and I look back on it. But I've dealt with it. I dealt with Nash, Harry, all those things. And
and you've written about it all very honestly in the book, I have to say. You're also now a businessman as well as a Garda.
Yeah, I'm running my own business, AOM Fitness. And look, I suppose from the time in ASHRAE and what GAA gave me is that I love fitness. It's part of who I am. It's part of life. Like, I'm always talking to young people about the importance of getting involved in sport and fitness, Pat, and getting out. And we saw through lockdown there, you know, when you're cocooned and home and stuff and you can't get out, fitness is a massive tool in life. And I'm not just saying no because of my own side, but it's just for young people in schools and anything like that. And that's one of the main reasons I wrote this book, is that it's not about Aidan O'Mahony the footballer or, oh, his, this career. it's total opposite. It's the person behind, as I said, that cape that sometimes we can use to kind of protect ourselves from the outside world. And that this gives young people maybe hope that, yeah, you look at this and say, yeah, you know, it's not all plain sailing or smooth. And, you know, that person is someone that I can be someday. And I'm not saying, well, I've come because I've plenty of, I'm not that perfect person, like, but I'm trying to kind of like make it in life and do good. And I suppose this book is something that, you know, might give young sports people a start in life.
Well, it's a fabulous book. I mean, it's no bother to read it. You know, it sailed through it rapidly. It's called Unbroken, A Journey of Adversity, Mental Strength and Physical Fitness. Never even talked about you playing with a broken leg. That's within the pages of the book. People can catch up on that. It's published by Hachette Books Ireland. It's called Unbroken and it's available in all good bookshops. And its author, Aidan O'Mahony, thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
Thank you very much, Pat.